Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
God is so good. So we're talking in lessons in leadership from the book of Nehemiah, and we're in chapter 5 tonight. But as you go through Nehemiah, there's a number of things that you see, and really talking about values. If you're going to be a leader, you have to have good, godly values. And so in chapter 1, we saw the value of prayer. You know what? There's value in prayer. Nehemiah prayed. We talked about how he prayed about this thing twice as long as it actually took him to do the work. He got very clear direction from heaven. And then the value of purpose. He got a purpose that came from God, right? He asked the right questions, got the right answers, lived for a purpose greater than himself. And then he had a vision, right? When he came in before the king and the king said, "Why are you so sad?" Do you know he was taking his life in his hands? To come in before the king and be sad? And the king, he said, "Well, how can I not be when Jerusalem, the city of God and the people of God are at waste?" And so the king asked him what he wanted to do and asked him how long it'd take. And you know what he told him? You know, you got to have a plan to go along with a vision if you're going to accomplish it. A lot of people talk about dreams and visions, but you got to have a practical aspect plan, a way to get there. Amen? And then the value of people. In chapter 3, we saw that all these people came together, right? Teamwork. They got people from all walks of life and different things to come together and to work together and accomplish the work. And then we saw the value of diligence in chapter 5. You know, what's the key verse to the book of Nehemiah? Do you remember? Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. The people had a mind to work. Work is not a bad thing. Work is a good thing. We work for a purpose, praise God, greater than ourselves. And then tonight we're going to be in chapter 5 and we're going to talk about the value of giving. And, you know, I was studying through this and I taught Nehemiah years ago in Bible school, but I only had 8 lessons to do it in. And so I put chapter 5 and 6 together, but there's so much in chapter 5. I just said, you know, I'm just going to teach on chapter 5, praise God. But, you know, Jesus said this. He said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." Man, it's a blessing to give. It's a blessing to give. We get to give. It's not something that we have to do. It's something that we want to do. Again, the key verse in Nehemiah is the people had a mind to work. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. But why do we work? Why do you work? So we can give. Exactly. If you make giving your goal, your living won't be a problem. Working to make a living is really a bad mentality. Because if you're working to make a living, it's all about you. But if you start working to give, if you make your goal giving, your living will be no problem. Praise God. You can't beat God-given. Amen. You know, last year I was given at a certain level and I had a certain amount of income. It was $1,600. A month that I had coming in from a certain investment that because of a government stipulation got delayed and it's been piled up in an account and it's a good investment and I'll get it eventually. But you know what? That came in every month and that was a major part of my giving. And for a little bit, man, to keep up my giving at the level I was, I emptied all my accounts down to their minimum before you get a service charge. And I went and changed them, lowered them so I could keep it up. But then God just adjusted things. And I kept on going. And then recently, then at the first of the year, we raised it some more. And then recently, God told me, raise it some more. So we raised it up. And did you know what? It's not even been a problem. It's because, you know, directed by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something. It might make some of you mad. I got a preacher friend that I know. I'm not going to tell you it is. This preacher friend makes $300,000 a year. Does that bother you? It really shouldn't. But you know what? That preacher friend of mine gives $1.5 million a year. So his income's $300,000, but he's giving away $1.5 million a year. So. Hallelujah. So never criticize a person's harvest until you've seen their seed. Praise God. Amen. So we work to give. And if you'll make giving your goal, praise God. I love what Barbara was talking about. You know, blessed are those there in Isaiah 32, verse 20, who sow beside all waters. You know what waters are prophetically? Waters are the nations of the world. Do you know what? We are sowing into the nations of the world. We're sowing the word. We're giving to the nations of the world, helping them accomplish different things that we're really not involved in. We're just helping other people accomplish their vision, but we're also sowing the word to the nations of the world. And do you know what? When you give beside all waters, eventually that comes back to you. I liked that version. She read it up. It's eventually going to spring up. You know, Ecclesiastes says this, cast your bread, Ecclesiastes 11, on the waters, for you will find it after many days. You know what waters are? Again, the nations of the world. What happens when you cast on the waters? Eventually, it comes back to you. Another way of looking at the waters in that verse is giving into life-giving ministry where the Holy Spirit is moving and ministering. Praise God. And so it's exciting to be involved in what God's doing. So when you make your mentality working to give, Ephesians 4:28 says, let him steal no more, but rather let him work, working with his hands that which is good, that he may give to him that is in need, if we work to give. Do you know, our attitude about money says a lot about who we are. Now let's jump into Nehemiah 5. There's a different focus here that we'll begin to see, because what was happening is these people, the rich people, were abusing the poor people here. And it was a really negative situation. And so we'll read about it here in the first five verses. It says, there was a great cry of the people and their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were those who said, we are sons and our daughters are many. Therefore, we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. They were just trying to live. And some also were there that said, we have mortgaged our lands, our vineyards, our houses, that we might buy corn. So they were just mortgaging their property just so they could live, just so they could eat. He says, and houses that we might buy corn because of the debt, because there was a famine or a drought. There were also those who said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute. So they were having to borrow money to pay tax. I'm telling you, with this crazy governor that we have, taxes, they have raised the taxes on real estate in this state like crazy, and they're really going after businesses. And it's unreal what they're doing. And then now they're saying they're in a deficit. They're taking more money than ever, and they're in a deficit. Anyway, I'll stop right there. Anyway, we borrowed money for tax and that upon our lands and vineyards. So they borrowed against their property. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and daughters. So the borrower is servant to the lender. And they were coming into bondage because of debt. He says, neither is it in our power to redeem them. They were getting in such debt that they couldn't get out. For other men have our lands and our vineyards. So they had borrowed to the point that they didn't even have the power over their property anymore. So the first thing that Nehemiah began to address when he came into leadership is don't oppress the poor. And there was something that they called usury in the Old Testament. We call it interest. But God told him in the law in Deuteronomy 23, verse 19, you don't charge interest to your brother for basic needs, like for food and clothes. So if your brother needs food and clothes and you help him, it's good to help him. Basic needs ought to be taken care of. I don't think food and clothing should be a problem for anybody. Basic needs should be taken care of. But at the same point in time, don't charge them interest on those kind of things if you're going to do it. That's unjust taxation. And here they were taxing them and charging them interest, and it was difficult for even the people to live. Proverbs 19, verse 17 says this, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and that which is given him will he pay him again. Now, what's the return on giving to the poor? 1 to 1. If you give to the poor, God will pay you back 1 to 1. What's the return on seed? What's the return on seed? Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Okay, I'm going to share something about giving. Okay, Jesse shared some of this here before. It's good. A lot of people don't realize it. Some people just give because they see a need. The return on given to the poor is 1-to-1. When we started this church, we had hardly any money and any people, and I could literally see sometimes I would take money and give it, right? And I would see a harvest come back nearly immediately, and I'd say, that is a harvest on that seed that I sowed. Amen? And so I like to sow, praise God, and I really try to obey God in the realm of giving and receiving, both with the church and myself personally. I try to obey God in that realm. But when we were young, you could see it just really connect the dots. And I had this one missionary, and I tell you the truth, this guy was a great missionary, and I like to support him because what he did overseas. But he was, when he would come to America, and he worked a lot in third world countries, and he did a great work. But he was hard on Americans. He said, you rich Americans. And he was pretty rough around the edges. So I didn't really like to have him speak to my church because he was ornery. But I liked to give to him because he did good work. Praise the Lord. So he went over. So I gave some money to him, and like immediately I saw a harvest off that seed. And I'm like, that is good ground. I supported him for the rest of his life. And now he has went home to be with Jesus, but his widow is alive, and I still support his widow every month. Praise God. And I'm praise God, I'm glad I get to do it. Amen. I love to give. But when you have pity on the poor, you're lending to the Lord, and that which you've given, he's going to pay you again. Now, when the Bible talks about, there's four kinds of giving, four basic types of giving. Can you tell me what they are? Tithes. What's tithing? A tenth. Right? Offering. What's offering? Anything above a tenth. What's the third kind? Alms. Alms is giving to the poor. And then there's seed. Somebody listen to me. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, I give all those kinds of giving. Okay. I give tithes, offerings, alms, and I give seed. But I like to give all my giving, whether it's tithes, a tenth, offerings above a tenth, alms given to the poor, or seed. I like to give it all with the mentality of a seed. You know why? Because a seed has a future. A farmer, when he plants seed, expects a harvest. You don't plant a seed not expecting a harvest. When you plant seed, you're expecting harvest, or you wouldn't be planting seed. Amen? Now, Jesus talked about this. Let's go to Matthew 6. He talks about giving to the poor. I want to show you something here in Matthew 6. And a lot of people relate this with all kinds of giving, but it's really talking about almsgiving. It's talking about giving to the poor. So let's read Matthew 6, verse 1 through verse 4. Take heed that you do not your alms giving to the poor before men. So when you give to the poor, you're not to do that before men. You're not to show people when you're giving to the poor what you're doing, right? And there's a reason. Number one, God doesn't want the poor to be embarrassed about it, right? He says, so don't do it before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you don't have a reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your alms, giving to the poor, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do your alms, when you're giving to the poor, let not your left hand know what your right hand does. That your alms, which are in secret, he says, your Father, when you give them in secret, your Father, which sees in secret, he will reward you openly. Okay, that's talking about almsgiving. That's only one out of four types of giving. So do you know what? If you go to the Old Testament and you read about certain people that gave, what's it say? This tribe gave this much. And this tribe gave this much. And this tribe gave this much. And David gave this much. And his mighty men gave this much. And Jesus stood at the temple when they're bringing their offerings. And he said, and this widow, or, you know, poor woman comes in and gives two mites, like a couple of cents. And he says, hey, she gave more than everybody because she gave everything she had. Jesus watched the offering, watched them give, and commented on it. And yet people say, oh no, you can't tell anybody what you give. No, you can. You're not to talk about alms. That's talking about alms. And people get offended if you say something about it, but it's talking about almsgiving. It's not talking about tithing, not talking about offering, and not talking about seed sowing. Amen? And if you study the Bible, you'll find out a lot of people, there's a lot of examples in the Old Testament. It says very plainly what they gave and how much they gave, so on and so forth, right? And you can see harvest is connected with that. I just thought I'd bring that up. Anyway, he says here, if we go back to Nehemiah, the challenge was, and Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls, these people were being taken advantage of, the rich were taking advantage of the poor, so Nehemiah, when he came into leadership, got mad. Do you know what? It's all right to get mad once in a while. I know some people don't think it is. You get mad at the devil all the time. You know, the Bible talks about don't let the sun go down on your wrath. One way to translate that is be mad at the devil all the time. Now, another way to translate it is when you go to bed, don't be angry at your spouse. Okay? Get over it. Work it out. Deal with it, okay? All right. Let's go ahead and read, okay? So don't oppress the poor. Now, we move forward in verse 6. So Nehemiah says, I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself. How many of you ever talked to yourself? Pastor Lawson does this sometimes. And I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and I said unto them, you exact usury, you're charging interest to every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. In other words, he had a meeting about it. And I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold to the heathen, and will you even sell your brethren? You're selling them out, or shall they be sold to us? And then they held their peace and found nothing. They didn't have an answer to say. They couldn't talk back about what he was saying. Also, I said, it is not good what you do. You ought to walk in the fear of God because the reproach of the heathen, our enemies. You know, and so he said, listen, you need to respect your relationship with God. Now he goes, I likewise and my brethren, my servants, might exact of them money and corn. I pray you leave off this usury. In other words, you can lend them food, but don't charge interest on it. It'd be better just to give the food to them. Okay? He said, restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, their houses, also the hundredth part of the money. Basically, give back what you've taken and the wine and the oil that you exact of them. Then they said, we will restore it to them and require nothing of them, so we'll do as you say. Then I called the priests and took an oath of them that they would do according to this promise. And I shook my lap. Look at this in verse 13. And I said, so God shake out every man from his house and his labor that performs not. In other words, if you don't keep your word, it's going to come back to you. This is reaping in a negative sense, okay? So he says, if you don't do it, even God will shake you out and you'll be emptied. And all the congregation said, amen, and praise the Lord. And the people did, they did what he said. Now, there's a couple of scriptures that I want to bring out when we think about sowing and reaping. Basically, this says what you sow, you're going to reap. Guess what? That can work in a positive sense and it can work in a negative sense. So I want to reap good things, so I want to keep sowing good things. Now, Nehemiah was passionate about his life and living. You can see that. He called things like he saw them. Now let's go to James chapter 2 and look at James chapter 2, verse 1. We'll begin reading in verse 1, read the first four verses of James chapter 2. James is talking about the poor and the rich. My brethren, do not have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. In other words, did you know we need to treat every person, no matter how much wealth they have or they don't have, with respect? For if there comes unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and good clothes, and there comes in a poor man in vile clothes, and you have respect to him that wears the good clothes, and say, sit here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand here or sit under my footstool, aren't you partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? Let's keep reading in verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme the worthy name by which you're called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you will love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. So God is no respecter of persons. God is a respecter of faith. You know, when we went to Kit Carson, right now, we started out with almost nothing. Okay, Barbara and my, we lived in low-income housing. My first office, till we got our church built, was a tin shed by the railroad track. It was about two or three blocks from our house. And then we were building this church. I didn't have a phone, but we had a phone there at the house, so I figured I could walk home every once in a while, or Barbara could take calls from me. But I'd go to my little office and I'd work. Amen. But you know, we started out. And when we started out, Kit Carson is a really great school. It's mostly conservative people that live in the community, and it's mostly conservative teachers that teach at the school. And it's K to 12, like 100 kids, 110 kids or something like that, okay? But anyway, at the school, we had one liberal kind of crazy teacher. So they were having a meeting, and some of the people in our church would like to... This teacher was talking about how the methane gas coming off the cow manure was blowing a hole in the ozone layer and causing problems on the earth. Now, there's more cows in Cheyenne County than people. Okay? And there, most everybody owns some cows. So when you buy some cows, you connect with people. Okay? But anyway, did you know what? She wasn't making a lot of headway with the people, and there some of us thought she needed to go somewhere else, right? And so I went to this meeting, okay? I was, you know, 24 years old or something when they were having this meeting. We just had been in the community a little bit, and so I went down there to the meeting at the school board, and they were having this meeting. They were saying some things about it. I didn't really have anything to say. I was just kind of listening. But anyway, one of the people popped off, and I didn't know this person from anybody. And they said, if you and your people at your church, you know, want to do something about this, then you just need to have your own school. And so I looked across there, you know, I mean, community leaders, different people, school board meeting. I said, as far as I know, me and the people at my church pay taxes just like everybody else here. Well, I didn't realize this, but the person that kind of popped off at me was from one of the wealthiest families in all of Eastern Colorado. They had people in the state house. They owned thousands and thousands of acres. I didn't know anything about this. But they, do you know what these people said? They said, that little guy really put her in her place. Anyway, when we left Kit Carson, because she had kids like in our grade, and we moved up here, she wrote Barbara and I a very nice letter. And this is what she said. You and Lawson treated everybody in town with respect. No matter how much they had, no matter how little they had, you treated everybody with respect. And your children always treated my children with respect. And I appreciate that. So she grew to become friends with us. And we actually became friends with a lot of people in the community and kind of pastored the community. Amen? And so it ended up being overall a good thing. But I thought, well, that's good. And this is what he's saying. We don't want to respect the rich, right, and treat the poor bad. We want to show everybody respect. You know, the scripture actually says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says there are many voices and none of them without significance. In other words, everybody has a reason why they're saying what they're saying. It doesn't mean what they're saying is right. But people have a reason why they're saying what they're saying. So I try to listen to everybody, and then I try to hear what God is saying. Amen? So he's basically, Nehemiah saying, we don't want you to respect the rich and treat the poor bad. And basically, James is saying the same thing here, that don't show respect of persons. God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. Now, when you get the right heart towards God, guess what? It's going to affect how you treat poor people, rich people, how you treat everybody. Remember Zacchaeus. When Zacchaeus repented, what did he say? He said, I'm going to give, this is in Luke chapter 19, verse 8, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything wrongfully, I'll give it back four times over. Now, there was a man in my church in Kit Carson. Some people liked him, some people didn't. But when we came to town, he got really involved in church. And I mean, just almost immediately, he had been saved. He'd been through some hard times and been through a divorce and got remarried. But then you know, he was saved, but he just really wasn't going to church anywhere. We went out and visited him. He started coming to our church. Like the first time he came, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we became great friends. But he had a harvest crew, and he owned thousands of acres. And to harvest, they had to use these crew. Now, the harvest crew came out of Kansas, and they were out of, like, the Church of Christ. So I went to visit this man at the harvest crew. He was a believer. And when I went to visit him, so the Church of Christ believes, like, we're the only people that are saved. However, this man, Herb and Judith, were shaking their heads, yes, because they used to be part of the Church of Christ. All right? So anyway, I went to visit this man, and he said, I guarantee you that man is saved. And he said, I'll tell you why he's saved. He owed me thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and I thought he'd never pay me. But after he started going to your church, and when I came to town, he paid me everything that he owed me. He said, I guarantee you, he is saved. Amen. So what you do with money says a lot about your heart. Now, in Galatians chapter 6, what's he saying? Nehemiah is telling these people, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Right? But he's not telling them on the positive side. He's telling them on the negative side. The rich were oppressing the poor, making it hard for them. And Nehemiah said, listen, you need to give back their stuff. You need to give them food. You need to take care of them and don't oppress them. And if you don't do it, God's going to get you. Now, I don't like to preach like that. Do you? I don't like to preach God's going to get your message, except in a good way, okay? But Nehemiah's really saying, you guys sowed some bad seed. You're going to get a bad harvest if you don't repent. So they repented, and they did it joyfully. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 is talking about sowing and reaping. It talks about both sides, but primarily it's used in a positive context. Let's look at this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Let him who is taught in the word communicate to him who teaches in all good things. So he says, give what? In all good things. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I have a question for you. Who determines your harvest? You do. Right? Whatever you sow, you got a garden, Herb. And you're going to reap what you sowed in it, right? So if you sow tomatoes, you'll get tomatoes. If you sow corn, you'll get corn. If you sow watermelons, you'll get watermelons. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So no one else determines your harvest. I love this. Because if I'm reaping what I sow, I can determine my harvest. So he says, and he's using, if you read on down, he's using this in a positive context. He says, for whoever sows to his flesh, negative, shall of the flesh reap corruption or death. But he who sows to the Spirit, positive, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not faint. So we don't want to get weary in well-doing. We want to keep doing. Guess what? If you keep sowing, right? You keep giving, you keep doing what God tells you to do, you keep believing, there'll be a day that you'll have a harvest. Amen? If you get a hold of the Word of God and start believing the promises of God and start acting on it, there's going to be a day that you're going to get, it may be on down the road. It may, you know, but if you stay at it and you don't quit, guess what? You're going to have a harvest, and it will be a good harvest. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not faint. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to who? To all men. Be good to everybody. Do good to everybody. Be good to everybody, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So I want to be good to everybody. I want to do good to everybody, because did you know what? What I sow, I'm going to reap. And I especially want to be good to those who are God's children. Amen? So, some attitudes about money. Nehemiah's talking about, number one, don't oppress the poor. Number two, what you sow, you will reap. So, if you don't want to have a bad harvest, don't sow bad seed. If you want to have a good harvest, sow good seed. Now, the last thing, let's read Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 14 to 19. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be the governor in the land, they appointed him to be the governor in Judah, from the 20th year even to the 32nd year, so for 12 years of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. So Nehemiah did not take a government paycheck. He didn't do it while he was in this restoration process. 12 years. Why did he do it? He tells us. He says, but the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people and taken of them bread, wine, beside 40 shekels of silver. Even their servants bear rule over the people. But I didn't do it because of the fear of God. I respected my relationship with God. What you do in the realm of money has a lot to do with your relationship with God. Yes, also I continued in the work of this wall. Neither bought we any land or my servants were gathered. So while he was building this wall, this 52 days, he didn't buy any land or his servants. He was focused on that task that was at hand. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, besides those who came to us from the heathen that are round about us. So there are all these different people helping. Now that which was prepared for me was daily one ox, one fat cow, six choice sheep, all kinds of chickens and ducks and birds, whatever. And once in 10 days, all sorts of wine. For all this, I did not require the bread of the governor because the bondage was heavy on this people. So I figured up the cost of what it was costing a day. So they built the wall for 52 days. Nehemiah not only was not taking a government paycheck, he was spending about $5,000 a day of his own personal money taking care of all these people that were around him. So he took about $260,000 of his own personal wealth and was given while they were rebuilding this wall and rebuilding Jerusalem. Now look at what he says in verse 19. He says, think on me, my God, for good, according to all that I've done for this people. What's he saying? I am trusting God. When I'm given, what am I doing? I'm saying, I'm putting my trust, I'm putting my confidence, I'm putting my hope in God. That's what Nehemiah was saying that he was doing. He said, I'm gonna trust God. So he didn't take any government paycheck. Do you know Donald Trump, the first 4 years that he was in office, didn't take a government paycheck. Did you know the salary for our president right now, Donald Trump, is $400,000 a year and $50,000 expense account. And do you know what? He's not taking any of it. He's giving it all back. That's amazing to me. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's good. I believe God put him in the place that he's in. Amen? But your giving says a lot about you, and it says a lot about where you're going. So my conclusion is really simple tonight. Our attitude about money says a lot about our relationship with God. Jesus said it this way, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen? So I want to treasure the right things. I want to treasure the kingdom of God. I want to treasure the things of God. Amen? And if you treasure the kingdom of God and things of God, guess what? Nobody's going to have to twist your arm, amen, and make you give because it's in your heart, amen? And when it's in your heart, it just becomes part of your life, amen? And so I love to give, amen? Why? Because Jesus is living in me, and I want to extend his kingdom, amen?
Thank you for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.